This is Boston Public Radio. I'm Callie Crossley. It's now legal to use marijuana with a prescription in Massachusetts. This brings up a crop of questions about how to regulate a drug that is still illegal to use on the federal level, the first of which is where and how people will get it. Dr. Barbara Ferrer, the Boston Public Health Commissioner, joins me now in the studio. Part of her job involves figuring out where marijuana dispensaries will go in the city of Boston. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Ferrer.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
So you've been moving along with a group of folks committed to try to figure out these regulations. The deadline's May 1st, and by all accounts, it's moving very well. But the thorniest issue is, where will these dispensaries go? And I know that next week you have a meeting, which I'm sure this will be a top of mind and the core of the conversation. Five dispensaries are state approved. How do you make a decision about where they go, particularly now that certain communities have said, not here?
Yeah, I think we have to just clarify. We have no regulations right now. What we have is a law that passed. And the law actually allows the Massachusetts Department of Public Health to write regulations. And so we're expecting that the regulations that they write those will be available for people to comment on in the next few months. Those regulations are actually going to spell out some of the details so that you have a uniform system across the state. The one thing that I think everybody understands and probably supports is it's important for us to make sure that people with debilitating conditions will, in fact, have good access to marijuana, and that we, in fact, support the intent of this piece of legislation. I think there are a lot of details that need to get worked out, including issues around zoning. What we are guaranteed by law at this point is that there has to be at least one treatment center located in Suffolk County. So Suffolk County, as you know, includes Chelsea, Winthrop, and Revere, as well as Boston. So we have to have at least one, and the maximum number of treatment centers we could have in our county is five. So it's unclear at this point in time what the state, how the state regulations would further define that. But we have made suggestions to the state that, in fact, as they think about the regulations, they take into account the fact that zoning laws vary significantly within each municipality, and that there needs to be some ability to collaborate very closely with those municipalities in deciding where you'd be able to site those treatment centers. You know, obviously, you need to balance the need for patients to have good access. So, you know, in a city like Boston, that means for us that, you know, it has to be accessible by our public transportation system. It has to be in a place where people would be able to easily get to it. Many of the people who will need to come into the treatment center are people who are ill, so you certainly don't want to add a whole host of barriers about making this a place that's hard to find or hard to locate or hard to navigate to. You know, I think we need to balance that with neighborhood concerns. And, you know, obviously, this is a new use, permit that would have to be issued, and people would have to figure out what conditions should you place on the location of these facilities so that, for example, it doesn't cause neighbors to have a lot of concerns around access for children, for example, because, you know, I think that's probably something that in some of the neighborhoods they'd be very concerned about. You know, should it be located next to a school or next to a church? We want to be able to balance those legitimate issues and legitimate concerns that are going to be raised in the neighborhoods with the fact that this has to be a place people have easy access to.
I am speaking with Dr. Barbara Ferrer. She's the Boston Public Health Commissioner, and we're talking about marijuana dispensaries, the work being done now as she's a part of a large working group looking toward coming up with regulations about where the medical marijuana dispensaries will be located, and other regulations that are concerning how medical marijuana is used in the state. Now, we know that it has to that people have to have a written prescription. So that's one thing. I think it's important to note for folks, because I think there's still some confusion about its worth as a medical treatment. But it works very well for people with glaucoma, with cancer, with AIDS, and ALS. So that should be clear, that that it's demonstrated, it's scientifically recorded, it's documented, it does work, and that's why overwhelmingly in Massachusetts, I think people voted to have it. You raise the issue of zoning. So one of the issues, as I understand it, is whether or not you lump together cultivation, that would mean growing, presumably, in the same place with treatment, where people would go to get the medical marijuana. Is there a thought now? Do you have a sense whether people want to separate those or altogether? What seems to be working best in other communities? And I know that you all have been looking closely at Colorado.
Yeah, we've looked at a whole host of other communities. I mean, one advantage that we have in Massachusetts is that there are 17 other states that have already passed laws that decriminalize the use of medical marijuana. So we have a lot of experience to look like. I will say the downside is that some of the laws that got passed are very different than the law that passed in Massachusetts. And the states that have laws that look most similar to ours are actually states that are very early in their implementation. But we did look at Colorado just because they've done a lot, and the city of Denver in particular was able to offer us some good advice based on a couple of years of experience now. I think our law is different in what it allows for, but I think, you know, as you said, you know, what it really allowed us to do was find out what kinds of concerns cropped up when they started implementing, and how did they then figure out how to address them, as opposed to the particular way they did their zoning. You know, Denver is a lot more spread out city than Boston. So, you know, we're going to have issues around siting related to, you know, how much acreage might you need if you were growing a significant number of marijuana, and would that be possible in a sort of a centrally located treatment facility? Or, as you said, does it make more sense in a city like Boston to perhaps have your growing somewhere else? And I think we need to see the guidance from the state on what they're anticipating. We do know that the treatment centers are allowed to grow, distribute, as well as assist people use marijuana. And so, you know, we'll have to see how the state is defining that. But it definitely includes the ability to grow and to be a grower. There are other people who can be growers as well by this law. This law allows caregivers to grow for patients and patients to grow for themselves if there's a medical hardship that would prevent them from getting to the treatment center. So obviously, because we're not going to have a treatment center on every corner, you can see the situation arising where somebody is, a medical condition would make it difficult for them to get to a treatment center, even if that treatment center was easily accessible. And in those cases with medical hardship, the Department of Public Health will define what it is you're allowed to do, either as a patient or a caregiver of that patient. So, for example, in some other states, caregivers can work with up to a half a dozen to a dozen patients, and they end up being the growers for those patients. Whether or not that's going to happen in Massachusetts, I think, remains to be seen, depending on where the state, how the state decides to regulate. And again, you know, we're going to work very closely with the state over the next few months to make sure that the regulations allow for a lot of local input, and most importantly, make sense at the local level. You know, we want to be certain that however we do this in Massachusetts, we really do it well. And we do it in a way that absolutely helps people who are sick and whose physicians have decided this would be a useful treatment. And we also want to do it in a way that doesn't increase illicit activity associated with the distribution of marijuana for illegal purposes, and that doesn't really, take away from the message that we've so carefully crafted over the years around for our youth, around the fact that this is a drug, and unless it's a prescribed drug for you, it's illegal, and we ask that you not use it because it's harmful. So, you know, there's a lot of messaging here that we have to be acutely aware of as we roll out this very important initiative.
I'm speaking with Dr. Barbara Ferrer, the Boston Public Health Commissioner, and we're talking about the working toward regulations to address marijuana dispensaries. The law was passed, but now there must be regulations about where dispensaries will be, how doctors interact with patients, what caregivers can do. We should note at this moment that because there are no regulations, that folks are allowed to grow legally a 60-day supply, which has been interpreted as 12 plants. I don't know how they came up with that configuration, but that's what it is as of this moment. Whether that may change as the regulations go into effect, but that's what's happening now. So let's go back to something you raised, which is about communities and mixed messaging. And there are the communities who have come forward and said, I don't think we want this. I'm thinking now of City Councilman Bill Linehan from the South End, who said, we don't want this. We have methadone clinics. We don't want to raise any other concerns, draw people to the community who might be looking for illicit activity connected to this. How do you deal with that? Just as the attitude now. Now, the regulations are not in place. We've said that. But you've got to sort of get ahead of this well.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we're going to pay a lot of attention to neighborhood concerns. You know, we'll be meeting with residents over the next few months to make sure that we're clear about what their concerns are. But I do want to, you know, say from a public health perspective that we all need to be mindful that the people that are coming to the treatment centers are people who are ill and whose physicians have said that they have a debilitating condition that would benefit from treatment with marijuana.
I don't think anybody disagrees with that, but what they're concerned about is what other people may be attracted.
Exactly, yeah, but yeah, I think, you know, if you look at what that ought to mean, is it ought to mean that you have a treatment center that is very careful about who's allowed in so that, you know, the only people who are coming in are people, as you said, who have a prescription and have been certified or registered with the state so that they have their registration cards when they're coming in, or they're a caregiver and have a caregiver card, so that it doesn't become sort of a hangout place. And, you know, I think in those states that have already implemented similar processes, they've been very clear about the need for good security and good protocols on making sure that the treatment centers are exactly what they're set out to be, treatment centers, and not places where people who really have no registration card and have no debilitating medical condition that's been certified are coming to hang out in hopes that they somehow will gain access to what now would be a medical treatment. So I think, you know, I want to separate that a little bit from, you know, sometimes we hear, you know, we don't want any more drug addicts in our neighborhood. This is not a program for drug addicts. This is a program for people with medically documented debilitating conditions. So, you know, so I want to separate that a little bit because it's not drug addicts who are coming to the treatment centers. I think you bring up a good point, and I think that's what neighbors are most worried about, is who else gets attracted to these treatment centers. And there's where I think the advantage of having local government heavily involved is we can foresee what we think will be some of those issues, working closely with our residents, and try to make sure that they're addressed in the regulations. So, you know, at our table in the city, in terms of city departments, we are, of course, working very closely with the police department, and we're working very closely with the Department of Neighborhood Development and closely with the Boston Redevelopment Authority, as well as with our schools, because we recognize that there are vested interests that are well represented by those city departments, and that they have something to offer in thinking about what the issues are going to be related to the siting of treatment centers. You know, I think the Department of Public Health and us as a health department, you know, we also are going to worry about making sure that, you know, these are legitimate, that the people that are coming there are people who do, in fact, have a doctor's note from a legitimate physician, that, in fact, that relationship between the physician and the patient is a real relationship. And I think most importantly that we make sure that people understand the distinction between recreational use of marijuana and medicinal use of marijuana, and what our position as, you know, good public health practitioners is on recreational use of marijuana, particularly when we're talking about young people.
So as we've said, next week you continue these conversations with all the folks that you cited, working towards some regulations that the deadline for is May the 1st. I thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Barbara Ferrer, the Boston Public Health Commissioner. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
And here's Edgar Herwick entering the studio.
Hey, Kelly, how you doing?
Fine.
All right, so here's a question for you. Can you tell me what famous object is 13 and a half inches tall, 93% tin, 5% antimony, 2% copper, and plated with 24 karat gold?
This is a little personal to me because I didn't win one.
Okay.
So
you know.
I know.
So, and it is the...
The Oscar statuette.
It is the Oscar. Well, the nominations were announced this morning. We're going to go over snubs, surprises, and we're going to discuss whether the Academy Awards are beginning to lose relevance.
No, they're not.
All right. There's your answer from Callie Crossley. I'm Edgar B. Herwick III, and this is Boston Public Radio.